Also, the government tended, according to historians who have researched this more recently, tended to pretty clearly look away whenever pogroms broke out, these violent attacks on Jews that were especially common in 1881, but in later years as well. And in fact, there's some evidence that local authorities even encouraged attacks on Jews. In fact, Alexander III's attitude toward Jews, not unlike his attitude to other minorities, but Jews were particularly troublesome, he thought, was typical of many elite Russians in government circles at the time. As he said at one point, he said, "In the depth of my heart, I am always really happy when they beat the Jews. Still, we must not allow it." He was, of course, first attached to the need for order in society. Now, when one looks closely at Alexander III, we see that order, control, was something he valued, but in fact it went still deeper than that. In many ways, Alexander III and those around him were engaged in really what might be described as a rather radical project, namely trying to save Russia from disorder by turning the clock back, by turning the face away from where Peter the Great and Catherine and so many of his predecessors had turned it toward greater westernization. And one sees this turn away from the West in all sorts of telling ways. For one, one sees it just in his visual appearance alone. While he was still heir to the throne, while he was serving in the army as an officer, he decided, and it was partly because a special law had been passed allowing this for soldiers only, to grow a large beard. And he kept this beard, though, all his life. In fact, for the first time, once he came to the throne in 1881, for the first time since Peter the Great, a monarch of Russia wore a beard. And we know what a symbol that was for Peter, who personally cut them off everyone at court. Similarly, he redesigned soldiers' uniforms to make them more traditional, more Muscovite, before the German styles, before the French styles that had been favored in all the years since Peter's time. Personally, he also adopted what was described by some as a virile national appearance. Now, partly this came natural to him. He was a big man physically, a very muscular man. And in his dress, he favored what many people described as a masculine Russian style. He liked military uniforms, especially redesigned ones that looked less European. Big jack boots, a large Russian cap. He also loved physical activity. He liked to personally chop wood on his own palace grounds. He liked to break ice in the little canals near his palace as winter was coming to an end. He felt in all of this, a true Russian man, a man who exuded confidence and strength and Russianness. Another symbolically important way that Alexander tried to recall Russia's ancient traditions, to turn Russia's face back away from Europe, was a church he had built in 1883 on the spot where his father was blown up by a terrorist bomb. And in the very midst of neoclassical and to some extent Baroque St. Petersburg, the very symbol of Russia's turn to the West, Alexander chose as a design for this church, which would be called the Church of the Resurrection of Christ on the Spilt Blood, the blood being that of his father. He chose a design that was intensely old-fashioned, intensely Muscovite, a very elaborate version of a 17th century church. Varied patterns and colors in its flamboyant canopy, and on the outer walls, multicolored decorations and tilework, an exaggerated neo-Muscovite building. In fact, one Petersburg art critic, once he saw this thing going up, declared that this Muscovite church in neoclassical St. Petersburg created, as he put it, a troubling dissonance in the architecture of the city. And one might say that this was exactly the point in choosing this design. This was an aesthetic rebuke to the very city of St. Petersburg and all it stood for. It was a challenge to this faith in the political culture of the West, of rationality and progress. And in fact, similar, what were called neo-Russian churches, tended to be built in later years in other places in Russia as well. Now, Alexander's turn to the past was visible not just in these superficials, in his dress and in his style of architectural choice. It was explicitly visible in his political beliefs as well. He made it clear again and again that he believed deeply in the most traditional notions of autocratic, absolute, monarchical, divine power in Russia. He repeatedly made it clear that the free will of the state, indeed, better to say, of the monarch himself, was more important than that of any law or any institution.